Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue along with the head coach for the Yellow Jacket men, George Pfeiffer, coming off a split this past weekend against Colorado Christian. George, when we talked, you know, last week, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I think I'm getting the quote right. You said that you thought perhaps this Colorado Christian team was a little bit above your tax bracket. You earn a split, couple of very, very close games. Frankly, it was a series. You could have gone 2-0. You could have gone 0-2. It was that close. But in general, you had to be, I would think, and not putting words in your mouth, but fairly pleased with the way things went.
Well, we show improvement, and I think that's something that we have to hang our hat on here right now. Our defensive resolve was a lot stronger and a lot better than it was the weekend before. They're big, they're experienced, they're talented. They've won a lot of games with that group. And so for us to be in close basketball game with them like we were on Friday and manage to come away with that victory was certainly gratifying. I thought, you know, playing somebody back-to-back is not an easy thing to do. And I thought, for the most part, if you take a look at the first 8 or 9 minutes of the game against Colorado Christian on Saturday night, they had 5 points. So it wasn't like we showed up with la-la, skip, what care I type attitude. We already won the first one. We didn't do that. We missed some shots. I mean, when you go back and watch that video, they made some shots. We gave a few defensive possessions away, I thought, in the second quarter, and Puckett got hot. We can't have that. Excuse me. We talk about picture window. You know, you can't give people a picture window to shoot through. We gave him 2 or 3 picture windows in that second quarter. We were late to get to him, short closed, and he hit those shots. So then later on in the second half, you know, it's like we're striking matches and we're throwing them on him. I mean, he's on fire. And now when we do get to him, he makes some tough shots. So all of those things, learning laboratory for us. But, overall, I thought we were good in our motion. I thought we had more resolve defensively. We saw some people come off the bench and make contributions for us. It was nice to have Tyler back. What we're doing offensively is getting tighter and tighter. And again, there were, I would say, inside the last 5 minutes of the game, there wasn't a shot that we took that I didn't want us to take. You know what I mean? That I didn't think was a good shot. I don't think they stopped us from getting what we wanted in that last 5-minute frame.
Yeah, and that's really all you want to do is, you know, typically towards the end of the game have a chance to win, and you certainly had that opportunity. You know, when I take a look at it, though, this was a very different home series than what we've seen from you from the standpoint. We talked about it before this game, you know, before these games. You know, every game you've had up to this point at home, you know, you've built up a nice early lead where you got in double digits. This was really just the opposite. You got behind pretty good, particularly in that first game. And, you know, you had to battle back. I mean, you know, there was one point, frankly, during that first half, I was thinking, boy, it'd be nice to be within 10, you know, going into the break, or maybe be within two or three possessions. And yet you go into at halftime during that first game with a 35-31 lead, despite the fact you trailed by double digits. Again, the team showing the ability to come back, whether it be on the road or at home.
We have some guys who are competitive. I don't know if they know how to channel it for long periods of time, but we have some really competitive young men who, we challenged them when the score was 27-17. Hey, this is a do or die moment right here. You can come back and say whatever you want, but if you want to coach, you know, we don't positively coach or negatively coach here. We coach out of reality. And the reality of that moment was, if we don't make a stand and they have another 7-0 run, we're probably going to have a bad, really bad moment. And then for us to, you know, go on an 18-4 run, you know, during that period of time, that was impressive by our young men. Again, I think it happened at both ends of the floor. We got stops, we got a couple transition baskets, but, you know, more importantly, when we had to run half-court offense and some of our sets and plays weren't clicking and we had to run some motion, I thought we got multiple touches, shared the basketball, got the ball inside, got the ball outside. So the things that we were doing were very efficient.
When we come back, I want to talk about some of the individual performances. We've kind of talked about it from a team standpoint up to this point. Talk about some of those players that I think really stood out this past weekend. You're listening to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with George Pfeiffer. Coaches Show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurants, GM Petroleum Distributors, Ortho Montana Jackets Company, Farmers Insurance Group, Denny Menholt Chevrolet Hummer, First Interstate Bank, St. Vincent Healthcare, Alpha Graphics, SignPro, Rimrock Stages, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, and Clock Tower Inn. We'll be back with the second part of the Coach's Show coming up.
Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big beer. Billings' number one award-winning beers. Great food, great fun, and great beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. And we're now proud sponsors of the Montana State University Billings Athletics. Join us before and after the game for great food, awesome service, and award-winning beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big award-winning beer. Right in the heart of downtown Billings. At 113 North Broadway, downtown.
A lot of people are proud of their jobs and what they do. I'm one of them. I'm Renee, one of the customer service representatives for Northwestern Energy. We get your phone calls about problems, little ones and big ones. During a winter blizzard, snow and wind knock down lines, bury roads, and makes it tough for us to work. We will work 24 hours a day so you can have power again. It's what we care about. Yes, I'm proud to work here.
Northwestern Energy, delivering a bright future.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with the head coach for the Yellow Jacket men, George Pfeiffer, coming off a split this past weekend against Colorado Christian, and they get set, by the way, something we haven't talked about yet. We'll be talking about a little bit here in a moment, getting set to host Montana Tech coming up Thursday, December 11th at Alterowitz Gym. Travis Bunker, want to talk about him. First of all, he continues to impress. You know, he had, again, an impressive couple of games. He was in double-doubles again, you know, in the first game against Colorado Christian. The second night, he gets 15 points down a little bit, actually a lot. Typically what you see in the rebounding department with four. But this is a kid you get a lot of minutes out of and continues to impress on the court.
Well, you know, the thing I think Travis is demonstrating is he's been kind of a leader through verbal conversations with players on the floor, but a lot by example. We play him too many minutes. There's no question about that. Back-to-back basketball games, you know, one that gets over at 10 o'clock and the next one that starts at 4 o'clock. Not good for us, not good for him, because it doesn't give him enough time to rest and recover. And so I thought there were a couple moments in the second game where he was, you know, didn't have quite the same bounce in his step. But, you know, he does so many things away from the ball, so many things for us without the ball, and then obviously a lot of good things with the ball that, you know, he's invaluable to us.
What sort of adjustments, and you'll see where I'm going with this, as, you know, one advantage that you had early in the year, it may seem like a disadvantage, but certainly difficult to scout you from the standpoint, brand new coach at Montana State Billings and yourself, really a brand new team. I mean, you know, a lot of new players. If you were Dickinson State, for instance, getting set to take you on in the exhibition game, or even some of these earlier opponents, Gonzaga, whatever, with them it didn't make any difference, obviously, with the talent they've got. But Western University of Mary is, you know, how do you scout a team like Montana State Billings? Now people have tape, they can look for it. What sort of adjustments are you see being made by other teams, particularly when you've got a stud like Michael Hall, who's averaging, you know, around 20 points a game? What sort of adjustments are you starting to see now that you're getting a little deeper into the season?
Well, they certainly don't leave him. I mean, there's, you know, there's a real major emphasis on any screen that he comes off of. Either it's being switched or, you know, it's going to be overly extended. Again, I thought in the first game against Colorado Christian, they did a really good job of getting to him. I don't think we ran our offense as fast as we needed to run it. In the second game, there were very few of those shots that he took that I didn't want him to take. And there were numerous ones, and he'd be the first one to tell you that there was a big picture window. We were more patient, which, as you play against better people who are better prepared, you're not going to find a lot of early shots. You know, sometimes I thought we had some really good possessions of motion. I mean, and there you'd look up and there were 6 or 7 seconds on the shot clock. Well, the reason that is that you have to work harder and move more and set better screens to create those opportunities. You know, we got our post doubled. We haven't had any, you know, we never thought that anybody would double the post. You know, usually the reason you double the post is that, you know, is there's a lot of respect in that. And the fact that Colorado Christian came down and doubled our post, I thought we handled it well. I thought we got the shots that we wanted to out of it. I thought that said something to me, you know, as far as, you know, our frontline play is concerned. I think people are running offense longer against us than they normally would like to. And I think that starts to become a credit to our young men and their ability to work hard to a scouting report.
I'm going to say this kind of facetiously, and again, I think you'll understand with the spirits and intended. I've watched a ton of basketball games, even more so, frankly, at the high school level, and it never ceases to amaze me. You know, you get some team, and they're just getting killed by about 10 or 12 points late in the game. All of a sudden, they put on a press, and then all of a sudden, it's a game again. And there's the people who always say at the end of the game, geez, why didn't we do that the whole game? Well, the reason you didn't do it the whole game is because it's difficult to do, you know, and certainly teams will adjust to it, and it gets pretty tiring to do that. Over in high school basketball, it'd be 32 minutes. When we take a look at that second game in particular, and the game was close throughout, mind you. I think the biggest, they had nine. I mean, the lead changes. The biggest lead was by Colorado Christian by 9. Your biggest lead was by 4. Turns out to be a 5-point ball game. But, you know, things were looking a little glum there with a few minutes left. And, man, you guys pulled within a bucket. And people are going to say, geez, what happened there? And it all seemed to kind of happen on the defensive end.
Well, I've had the privilege of being around a lot of good older coaches, and I'm older. But, I mean, I don't like the term step up. Because when you utilize the term step up, and I've done it before, and I apologize, and I'll do it again. It just it's an easy cliche to pull out. But really, when you use the term step, you know, we stepped it up, or this, you know, he's going to have to step up. We were at the end of the game. We were down 9. We had to step up. The question that you have to ask is, what were we doing before? You know, I mean, I thought the whole goal wasn't to play at 90%. I think we play hard. I have an expectation of probably an unrealistic expectation as to how hard we have to play if we're going to find success. So if you take what we did in the last 4 or 5 minutes, because, I mean, they were literally trying to get a handoff, and they couldn't get a handoff. I mean, is that realistic for 40 minutes? Probably not. But for us to beat really good people, we're going to have longer segments of that. And so, you know, somebody shouldn't think I'm being critical of our team when I say, hey, you know, we need to play harder. Because I think, you know, I haven't heard anybody who's watched us play come away saying, they don't play hard enough. You know, I do think we compete. I do think we play hard. There's a difference between, I don't even know if there's a gear like that, fifth gear and sixth gear. You know, and every once in a while you need to be running your engine in sixth gear, particularly at the defensive end of the floor. So, yeah, I fully understand. I fully understand what you're saying. And again, sometimes we made adjustments in that deal. We quit playing the pick on ball a certain way, and we played it a different way. We quit switching certain things and played it a different way because when you play somebody 2 times in a row, you can't give them the same blueprint. And so I thought we made some adjustments, and our players made those adjustments. We suggested them, and they did them, that helped us.
One of the battles I really and you know, as the game goes on, you tend to start to notice certain individual battles. And I know it's a team game, but one of the things I enjoyed most was watching Mario Burns on Jordan Long. I thought Jordan Long, by the way, was an outstanding player for Colorado Christian, and you know, he did some damage both nights. But at the same time, every now he'd come down and he'd just be picked clean by Mario, who always seems to get a big steal when you need it, and he's just got such quick hands. But that was kind of a fun battle as the game went on.
Well, the thing I liked, you know, as far as the point guard position was concerned overall, was we got Mario out of the game a couple times in the first half. And I think that made a big difference in his overall production. I think he came out once at the 12 and once at the 6. And it was, you know, we weren't just making the sub. When Brett Taylor came into the game, he was really productive. And so I think, you know, it helped us. It helped Mario have more ball pressure. It, you know, we subbed him out more in that game than we have in the past. And he's 2 assists away and 2 rebounds away from a triple-double. So, you know, and that's pretty good. And I don't know if he had any turnovers. Maybe he had 1. in that game, but you know, our turnovers were down, which was another strikingly positive thing for us.
Neatest moment of the game for me, I'm going to tell you right now, and we mentioned it. I mentioned it to you after the show the other day. Travis Bunker fouls out, and I know there was even some question about whether he had five or six or five or four, but ultimately in the end, he fouls out of the ball game. So what do? You take a guy out that's averaging double doubles for you. You bring in a freshman that you know has been riding pine the whole game. Ryan Meehan comes in. Puts up a shot from beyond the arc in a crucial situation and just buries it. I mean, to me, I mean, I know it was essentially 5 seconds out of a 40-minute game, but from a coach's standpoint, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of if you look, and I know what you're. I know when I say this, that people are going to think, "Well, that's not realistic" or "That's kind of crass," but you know. That's what he. That's his role. His role is to come in and make open shots. I thought we did a great job of drawing his guy and kicking him the ball. And I've seen Ryan shoot the ball, so I was. It wasn't like I was. Wow, that was special. And I could understand if I was sitting someplace else, I would think that. But our expectation, and I think one of the expectations you have to have for shooters is, well, don't just shoot them, make them. You know what I mean? They get tired of probably hearing me say that when we're, you know, I said, nobody's even guarding you and you can't make that, you know. I think we put that kind of pressure on him in practice. And I think, you know, you're right. For Ryan to sit there for 39 minutes and whatever amount of seconds it was and then come in as a freshman and in a tight ball game and hit that shot out of the corner, yeah. But again, I got confidence in Ryan to do that. So I wasn't shocked that the ball went, you know, to the ball went in the hole. Would I have been shocked if he just shot it 2 feet over the rim? No, not at all, based on what you're saying. I got it. But, you know, yeah, I, you know, he does that very, very well, catch and shoot the ball.
Yeah, because you know the coach on the other end with Bunker out, he's grabbing his player and he said, if Michael Hall gets an open look at a three right here, you're going to be running laps come Monday. So, you know, everybody's saying, don't let Michael Hall shoot the ball. So, yeah, Ryan's going to get that look. And, yeah, again, he just came through for you.
Well, and Michael Hall had about three or four wide open looks near the end of the game. And I thought we did a good job of getting him the ball. I thought he did a good job of getting himself open. I thought we did a good job of screening to get him the ball in those situations. You know, like I say, inside the, you know, when you go back and you, as a coach, and you go through the haunted house of a close loss, and you try and figure out where all the ghosts and the goblins are. There wasn't a lot of ghosts and goblins for me as far as what kind of shot opportunities we got at the end, and by who.
Coach's Show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant, GM Petroleum Distributors, Ortho Montana Jackets Company, Farmers Insurance Group, Denny Menholt. First Interstate Bank, St. Vincent Healthcare, Alpha Graphics, Sign Pro, Rimrock Stages, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, and Clock Tower Inn. We'll be back to talk about this week's opponent, Montana Tech, coming up next.
Your Billing Sheridan Cody Yellow Book Yellow Pages is packed with buying information, complete Yellow Pages, business and residential White Pages, community information, area maps, money-saving coupons, even a restaurant menu section. And the easy-to-read format helps you find whatever you are looking for. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Yellow Pages reach your potential customers at the exact moment they are ready to buy. For more information about promoting your business in the Billings Yellow Book, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW. Yellow Book, not the other book.
Where can you find Yellow Jacket apparel and memorabilia? It's all at Jackets & Company. They've got you covered. Everything from that t-shirt to that special Yellow Jacket coffee mug to that really special doodad you just know you have to have. Why not go now? That item you were thinking about buying is just sitting there waiting for you. Go ahead. They're right around the corner with 5 Beezer's locations to serve you. They've got it. You know it. Jackets & Company, on campus, downtown, and online at www.jacketsandcompany.com.
Montana State Billings, this is the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with the head coach of the Yellow Jackets, George Pfeiffer. George, another game this week at home, coming up on Thursday, December 11th, against Montana Tech at 7 p.m. Again, you know, and I've had an opportunity, you know, I think I've seen as many Frontier Conference teams this year as I think I may have all last year, and I covered Rocky the entire year. You know, I've been able to see Rocky play, and I've obviously briefly watched Montana Western play, and now, of course, going to get to see Montana Tech. Again, this Frontier Conference, and I know you're familiar with the conference, obviously, having coached at Lewis-Clark State, but again, another tough opponent coming up on Thursday.
Well, you know, Montana Tech takes Weber State down to the wire down in Ogden. Sunday night, they beat my alma mater by close to 20. I think it was 18, but at one point in time, it was like a 25-point game. They're doing a really good job. Nate's doing a really good job. You know, they've got great balance in what they do offensively. They spread the floor. They've got good spacing. They cut with a purpose. You know, Mungle inside is just, he's a terror. I mean, he's, you know, 6'6", 6'7". He's 245 to 255 or 260 probably, kind of like me, depending upon if he had breakfast or lunch. And I'm certainly not comparing his body to mine because he's just strong and physical, and he can score down there. I know I'm getting old because I believe York, their point guard, I went to school with and played with his dad. I was thinking about that when I was going through the scouting report. I'm going, oh. But he's very good. He can break you down. And then they've got just a tremendous number of people who can shoot threes. I know in watching one of the tapes, they shot 57% from behind the arc on the road and 54% from the field. And so, you know, these guys are playing very well together. They're very comfortable with how they're playing. They can go small on you, which is becomes an issue, and so you have to be prepared for that. So this will be a Donnybrook again come Thursday night. Hopefully we'll be able to hang with them.
Interesting. This is an important stretch for you. I mean, you've got the clock is ticking. Four games. Montana Tech, Augustana, Great Falls, Chadron State, all at home. And then you open up on the road January 8th against Western Washington to start the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. So these talk about that. These next four games, obviously, you want to be playing some of your best basketball heading into conference play. So this is an important stretch for you.
But we have a little chant after practice where we go every day and every way we get a little bit better. And so that, you know, that is our goal. Our goal is to constantly take steps forward. And so far, and that's not always going to be the case. I mean, there's a reality in this. But so far, that this group has done that. Every single week we get done, we're a better basketball team. And we have to continue to do that. I'm not certain it always shows up in the win-loss column. Saturday night might be an example of that. But We are getting better, and when you do get better, then you create better opportunities for you to win games. We need some wins in these next four games because let's be candid. I mean, Seattle Pacific goes into Colorado and wins that tournament. Colorado School of Mines, I'm, you know, good friends with Pryor, and I'm talking to him, and they have a great win over Northwest Nazarene at Nazarene, and Central Washington wins by 28. I mean, this conference that we're about ready to go into right now might be the best it's been for a really, really long time. And I'm not just saying that because we're going into it, but you're looking at the scores. So when we talk about having to get better week in and week out, we have to do that because this next tax bracket, as I like to say, that we're going to jump into, you know, in our world, it's the Donald Trumps of the world that we're going to go out and play.
Yellow Jack Coaches Show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant, GM Petroleum Distributors, Ortho Montana, Jackets Company, Farmers Insurance Group, Denny Menholt Chevrolet Hummer, First Interstate Bank, St. Vincent Healthcare, Alpha Graphics, Sign Pro, Rimrock Stages, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, and Clock Tower Inn. Coach, again, coming up Thursday night, Montana Tech, and then, of course, on Saturday, December 20th, you'll be taking on Augustana, and we'll talk about that more as we get a little closer to it. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
It's been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Actually, not this weekend. Again, that's coming up Thursday, December 11th, Montana Tech at 7 p.m. at Al Turowitz Gym. And, of course, you can hear that right here on the Internet. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.